In the 1930s, we had bread lines. Venture out before dawn today and you'll find mortgage lines. Average Americans hoping to lower their payments to save their homes. Banks are filing foreclosure lawsuits by the millions, and in the rush to collect, it appears some financial firms have used phony legal documents to throw people out of their homes. Chris Pendley says he forged 4,000 bogus mortgage documents a day for major U.S. banks.
And your previous experience in banking?
None.
I'm Scott Pelley. Those stories tonight on 60 Minutes. If there was a question about whether we're headed for a second housing shock, that was settled last week with news that home prices have fallen a sixth consecutive month. Values are down nearly to the levels of the Great Recession. One thing weighing on the economy is the huge number of foreclosed houses. Many are stuck on the market for a reason that you wouldn't expect. Banks can't find the ownership documents. It's bizarre, but it turns out that Wall Street cut corners when it created those mortgage-backed investments that triggered the financial collapse. Now that banks want to evict people, they're unwinding these exotic investments to find that often the legal documents behind the mortgages aren't there. Caught in a jam of their own making, some companies appear to be resorting to forgery and phony paperwork to throw people down on their luck out of their homes. In the 1930s, we had bread lines. Venture out before dawn in America today, and you'll find mortgage lines. These folks on the street aren't homeless. They slept on the sidewalk because they want to keep their homes. Facing foreclosure, they camped out in January to get in line to beg their bank for lower payments on their mortgage. So many in the country are desperate now that they have to meet in convention centers coast to coast.
We understand people have been here for a day or two.
Two and a half.
This was Los Angeles, where 37,000 homeowners gathered. And this was Miami in February, where the worry was visible and shared by 12,000 more. The line went down the block and doubled back twice. Dale DeFritis lost her job. Now she fears her home is next.
It's very emotional because I just think about it. I don't want to lose my home. I really don't.
It's your American dream.
It was. And it still is.
Welcome to Dr. Save the Dream. Welcome, everybody.
These convention center events are put on by the nonprofit Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America, which helps people figure out what they can afford and then walks them across the hall to bank representatives to ask for lower payments. More than half will get their mortgages adjusted, but the rest discover that they just can't keep their home. And for many, that's when the real surprise comes in. Turns out these banks, which demand borrowers have all of their paperwork just right, these same banks have fouled up their own paperwork to a historic degree.
In my mind, this is an absolute intentional fraud.
Lynn Simoniak is fighting foreclosure, and while trying to save her house, she discovered something we did not know. Back when Wall Street was using algorithms and computers to engineer those disastrous mortgage-backed securities, it appears they didn't want old-fashioned paperwork slowing down the profits.
This is back when it was a white-hot, fevered pitch to
exactly.
Move as many of these as possible.
When you could make a whole lot of money through securitization,
mm-hmm.
And every other aspect of it could be done electronically, you know, keystrokes. This was the only piece where somebody was supposed to actually go get documents, transfer the documents from one entity to the other. And it looks very much like they just eliminated that step altogether.
Simoniak's mortgage had been bundled with thousands of others into one of those Wall Street securities traded from investor to investor. When the bank took Simoniak to court, it first said that it had lost her documents, including the critical assignment of mortgage, which transfers ownership. But then, there was a courthouse surprise.
They found all of your paperwork more than a year after they initially said that they had lost it.
Yes.
Did that seem suspicious to
you?
Yes,
absolutely. What do you imagine? It fell behind the file cabinet? Where was all of this? We had it. We own it. We lost it. And then more recently, everyone is coming in saying, hey, we found it. Isn't that wonderful?
But what the bank may not have known is Lynn Simoniak is a lawyer and fraud investigator with a specialty in forged documents. She has trained FBI agents.
Did you ask for copies of those documents?
Yes.
And what did you find?
When I looked at the assignment of mortgage, and this is the assignment, a copy from my case, I looked at even the date they put in, which was 10/17/2008, was several months after they sued me for foreclosure. So what they were saying to the court was, we sued her in July of 2008, and we acquired this mortgage in October of 2008. It made absolutely no sense.
Curious, she used her legal training to go online and researched 10,000 mortgages.
Then I began to find the strange signatures.
One of the strangest signatures belonged to the bank vice president who'd signed Simoniak's newly discovered mortgage documents. The name is Linda Green. But on thousands of other mortgages, the style of Green's signature changed a lot. And even more remarkable, Simoniak found that Linda Green was vice president of 20 banks, all at the same time.
All within the same week. I mean, this is a very, very active person.
Where did all those documents come from? We went searching for the Linda Green, and we found her in rural Georgia. She told us she's never been a bank vice president. In 2003, she was a shipping clerk for auto parts when her grandson told her about a job at a company called Dox, D-O-C-X. Dox, once housed here in Alpharetta, Georgia, was a sweatshop for forged mortgage documents.
They were sitting in a room signing their name as fast as they possibly could to any kind of nonsense document that was put in front of them.
Dox and companies like it were recreating missing mortgage assignments for the banks and providing the legally required signatures of bank vice presidents and notaries. Linda Green says she was named a bank vice president by Dox because her name was short and easy to spell. As demand exploded, Dox needed more Linda Greens.
So you're Linda Green?
Yes. Can't you tell?
Chris Pendley worked at Dox at the same time and signed as Linda Green.
When you came in to Dox on your first day, what did they tell you your job was going to be?
That I was going to be signing documents for using someone else's name.
Did you think there was something strange about that in the beginning?
Yeah, it seemed a little strange, but they told us and they repeatedly told us that everything was above board and it was legal.
And your previous experience in banking?
None.
In legal documents?
None.
There really were no requirements for the job?
Correct.
You had to be able to hold a pen?
Hold a pen.
But you were signing these documents as if you were an officer of the bank?
Correct.
How many banks were you vice president of in a given day?
I would guess somewhere around 5 to 6.
What were you getting paid for this?
I'm embarrassed to say. $10 an hour.
$10 an hour, that's not much for a guy who's vice president of 5 banks.
Yeah, I was very underpaid for my status in the companies.
Pendley showed us how he signed mortgage documents as Linda Green. He told us that Dox employees had to sign at least 350 an hour. Pendley estimates that he alone did 4,000 a day. This is also Linda Green. Shawana Kreit worked at Dox and says that she both signed and notarized the mortgage documents.
What was the role of the notary?
We were to make sure that everyone on the document was who they said they were and notarized the documents.
But the people who were signing the documents weren't who they said they were.
Right.
So if Chris Pendley was signing for Linda Green, you'd notarize that document.
Yes.
And you were told that was okay.
Yes.
What do you know now?
That it wasn't right.
The real Linda Green didn't want to be interviewed, but she said that some of the bank vice presidents at Dox were high school kids. Their signatures were entered into evidence in untold thousands of foreclosure suits that sent families packing.
So it was a common practice in the last few years to flood the courts with these documents.
and look at some of the junk the courts were flooded with. Sometimes the document mill didn't even bother to fill in the name of the supposed owners. To them, it seemed like a joke.
Instead of the name of the bank here that was acquiring the loan, this one says, bogus assignee for intervening assignments. That's who acquired this loan.
This was an actual document that was in litigation?
Yes. And what corporation assigned this loan? A corporation identified as a bad beanie. Excuse me, when I saw that, I was just absolutely amazed.
What does that mean, a bad beanie?
It could possibly mean a bad beneficiary. I have no idea what they meant. So here's the same woman, Linda Green, and this time, instead of being a vice president of American Home Mortgage Servicing, she's vice president of a bad bean.
Simoniak says that the banks, whose paperwork was handled by the Docs forgery mill, included Wells Fargo, HSBC, Deutsche Bank, Citibank, U.S. Bank, and Bank of America. We contacted all of them, and each said that it farmed out its mortgage servicing work to other companies, and it was those mortgage servicing firms that hired Docs. Docs was owned by a company called LPS, a $2 billion firm that calls itself the nation's leading provider of mortgage processing services. LPS told us that when it found out about the phony signatures in 2009, it shut Docs down. The FBI and several states are investigating. There were a million foreclosures last year, and there will be another million this year. Those lawsuits are forcing open those bundled mortgage-backed securities that Wall Street cooked up in the mid-2000s, and they're exposing a lack of ownership documents all across the country.
It's astonishing to me that this became as pervasive as a problem that it is.
It got sloppy.
It got very sloppy.
Sheila Bair is one of the government's top banking regulators as chairman of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation.
You just described it as pervasive.
Yeah, it is pervasive. It absolutely is pervasive. And it was just a matter of cutting corners, not spending enough money, not having the quality controls.
Incompetent banking back then is causing foreclosure ghettos today. Although banks say the courts have been accepting their paperwork, now that's changing as desperate homeowners countersue the banks over the document fiasco. This leaves houses unsold indefinitely, undermining the recovery.
I'm very worried about if this starts getting out of hand, the kind of impact it will have.
These are lawsuits by homeowners.
Yes.
Who are being foreclosed upon, saying...
Yes, or are in the process or have already been foreclosed on.
Saying,
yes.
Prove it.
Yes, exactly.
Prove that you own this.
Exactly.
How big an issue is that going to be? There are 30,000 today.
Well, I think this litigation could easily get out of control, and we would like to get ahead of it. We're already feeling like we're falling behind it.
Chairman Bair thinks rotten mortgage documents are so threatening to the economy that the government should force banks to pay into a massive fund.
But you think there needs to be a cleanup fund?
I do.
Just
it's
like you would have
a good word for it,
for
yes.
a natural disaster.
Yes, somewhat like that. Yes, this is one of human making, but yes.
You don't want to give an exact dollar amount for this cleanup fund, but right. What are we talking about? Is it billions?
Yes, I would assume it would be billions, yes.
Billions
yes.
of dollars.
Yes, absolutely.
Chairman Bair's proposed cleanup fund would pay homeowners to accept a bank's ownership claim without a lawsuit. She says that this could be cheaper for the banks than trying to recreate the missing documents legitimately and not through the document mills.
I think eventually the bank could prove who owned it, but it would take a lot of time and expense.
You know, none of the major banks were willing to sit down with us and talk to us about this, not even the American Bankers Association.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Why do you think that is?
They're feeling very defensive now, and so I can only assume that is the reason why they declined.
The banks are defensive because all 50 state attorneys general want to punish them. The states are seeking about $20 billion in damages for what they say is the irresponsible, perhaps criminal way that some mortgage companies handled what is, for most folks, the most important investment of their lives.